Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio, live from Cleveland, Ohio, the RNC, Republican National Convention, going on live now. We are atop Radio Row, and you know, we got here because we joined with Talk Media News. TalkMediaNews.com is their website. Ellen Rapner, the owner of the organization, completely liberal, completely left. She calls herself a lefty loony. But you know what? She's the nicest lady on the planet. And she does some phenomenal work with her organization. What is it? A charitable organization that looks after South Sudan, right?
That's right. And the vice president of our foundation is a Mormon bishop.
All right, that's fantastic.
He's our treasurer. I don't spend any money without his permission.
Because he takes care of business honestly, doesn't he?
He does. Well, you know something? I have to say this about the Mormon Church. You guys are the best business people known to humankind.
All right. We do the best, and we do our best to be as honest as we can through and through, and we turn to God and guidance and everything else. Now, we try to give Ellen a Book of Mormon. She says she's read it. She doesn't believe it. She's free to think that. This is America. We love it. All these ideas. But we want to just commend you for your work in South Sudan, though. We really appreciate that.
Well, you should come sometime.
You know what?
You're invited.
One of these days we'll do that. Is it safe to go, though?
Well, right now, even I wouldn't go, but hopefully it'll settle down. I just got actually four people out yesterday on a plane to Kenya, and it's not a pretty situation there, not at all.
And the whole point, though, is there's a real, real need for kind, charitable support there. There's people that are suffering. You just showed me a heart necklace that the South Sudanese women made. It's incredible.
Right. And, you know, if you have a church or even if you have a profit-making organization, we give you the hearts. When you sell them, you give us half and you keep half.
All right. That's phenomenal. And when the half that you pay to get the hearts or whatever goes to the work that you do,
it goes
right?
to the women. No, it goes directly to women. It's their home project.
All right, that is phenomenal work. Anyway, regardless of our political persuasions,
by the way, that website, if I can give it, is goatsfortheoldgoat.com. I started for my 60th birthday.
Say it again slower.
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Write that down, Ben. Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
That's right.
All right, and the whole goal is to help.
And guess what? This year we will have given out 10, we're not there yet, we're almost there, 10,000 lady goats so that school children and others can have milk so that they're not malnourished.
That is phenomenal work, and we're grateful for that. And that's what we as Americans need to learn to get together and do. Regardless of what we politically think, we need to do these kinds of projects, Ellen.
I don't disagree at all. So what can I tell you about this convention?
I just had an extreme liberal just completely agree with me. Isn't that phenomenal?
Well, you know, I agree with Darren Peterson, who's a Mormon bishop.
All right. Now, the hottest story, you brought this up in your mind, is that, hey, you know what? Although we talk about unity, we talk about Donald Trump, we talk about everybody's aboard, but the fact is there's some high-level people that have refused to endorse and flat-out refused to show up. John Kasich has not come to this event, although he went to your party that we were at right here, because you're from Ohio as well.
The great state of Ohio. The best location in the nation is what we call Cleveland.
The most beautiful lake, I might add.
Thank you. We love it here.
That lake is huge. I can't even hardly call it a lake. You can't see the other side. The thing is mammoth.
I used to think it was an ocean when I was growing up.
Well, you know what? Biblically speaking, they would call it a sea.
Okay.
Anyway, we digress. I'm just telling you, though, that you pointed out wisely that, hey, none of the big people are here to endorse or to unify or to get aboard. What's up with that?
And well, yes, and the other thing I want to tell you, it's very interesting. As I say, I'm a lefty, loony liberal, but in the press has been making a very big deal about the fact that Trump does not have really high-level endorsements. Well, if you look at Hillary Clinton's pages that they put out about their speakers, the only high-level endorser people she has are the president, the first lady, and the vice president. She has, and of course, President Clinton, but she has nobody else, no senators, no members of Congress, not even Nancy Pelosi. Now, I think that is very strange.
Hey, Ellen, of course I support my wife. You should understand I always support her every time.
You do a good Clinton imitation. I like it. I like it.
It's just crazy. You're right, though. Neither of the two top candidates have serious endorsements, do they?
I am very, you know, this is an outlier year, and everybody says, I was told by a very high-level Democrat who shall remain nameless, we want to run again, this was last September, we want to run against Donald Trump. And I said to him, be careful what you wish for.
Now, we thought there was going to be nothing but a consistent foot forward for the Democrats. But now Bernie and crew are saying they're going to bring a bunch of people and cause a little issue there, right?
Well, I think they will, and I think actually the Democratic convention is going to be much more interesting than the Republican, and I was surprised by that. I actually thought we would have a very interesting Republican convention, but, you know, fortunately for Cleveland, Ohio, it has been a little boring, which is just great, because we don't want people hurt, and we don't want policemen hurt, et cetera. Or police
and by the way, the
hurt.
Security people here have been phenomenal. You know that?
They are so friendly and so nice, and that's because they're in Cleveland, Ohio.
Ellen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know what? Ellen Ratner, ladies and gentlemen, she's liberal as all get out. But you know what? She's a pleasure to deal with. She's polite. She's appreciative. She's easy to deal with. She's fun to talk to. She really is. Her hometown is Cleveland, Ohio. She loves the place. It's tremendous for her. But she wisely is willing to work with everybody. And I appreciate that about her. I appreciate her open, can-do attitude. I appreciate her work in the South Sudan. It is absolutely sorely needed around the world for charitable kind acts of kindness and for people to make a difference and do what they can. What do they call that kind of work, Kurt? What's that work called, though, that people do? The church does a lot of it, too? It's outreach, but there's a term. Humanitarian. That's the word I was looking for. Humanitarian work. Good for Ellen Ratner, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. All right, who do we got up next? Who do we got next? All right, John, are you there? Don, are you with me?
Oh, this is Al, State Representative Al Baldessel. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Al. All right, we got State Representative Al Baldessel. And Al, you're a state rep from where?
From New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Yeah. That's the free live or die state, right?
Live free or die. And I'm Donald Trump's veterans co-chair there. And it's been an honor serving with Donald Trump.
All right. Give me your name again then.
Al Baldessaro.
Spell Baldessaro.
B as in boy, A-L-D-A-S-A-R-O. I made it easy and just say I'm a first sergeant retired United States Marine Corps.
All right, we appreciate you for your veteran service, sir. And now you're basically, what do you say about Trump? And like last night, everybody was saying they were for Trump, for New York. They put him over the top, et cetera. But then Utah said they wanted their delegates to go to Ted Cruz, but they said they went to Trump anyway based on an obscure rule. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I think it was a temporary setback. I think one person in Utah, and Utah, I met a lot of them, are great people, you know, and when you all vote for certain people, they wanted their vote to count, and I respect that. But we all come together after there, and the Republican Party, from what I can see, is united, except for a few cats and dogs, but none we can't handle.
Now, Ellen Ratner, one of the well-known media personalities, she's a liberal and everything else, she says one of the interesting things is there's no high-level endorsements of Trump. She's got a point. Where are they? What's up with Kasich? How come he didn't come? Kasich could have come to the event. Where's George Bush? Where's some of the even Rand Paul is not here. What's up with the high endorsement people?
You know, I'm kind of surprised. I served in the Marine Corps under both Bushes, and I know John Kasich. They're not putting America first. They're going on their own motions. They got their feelings hurt because they lost. You know, and it's a damn disgrace. They need to get their heads out of their butts and put America first and not their own personal interests.
And do you think Trump's really going to be Hillary, though? You know what? She's an insider that knows no shame. She will do whatever it takes to make sure that she wins. Can Donald beat her?
I honestly believe Donald Trump will beat her. And the reason why, the people are smarter. People are more involved today. People are coming out of the woodwork, registering to vote. I met veterans all around the country that gave up on the government that are now motivated, coming back, want to vote, and I honestly believe this is going to be a landslide going after the Jane
I hope
Fonda
you're right.
Hillary.
Let me ask you a question. Do you rub shoulders with Donald Trump Jr. very much?
Every once in a while, yes.
Right, here's what I need you to do. I did an incredible interview with Donald Trump Jr., okay? It was incredible. It was on Super Tuesday. It was an amazing interview. And after the fact, the mainstream press called me a racist, and they called Donald Trump Jr. a racist, and then Donald disavowed me because of the manipulation of the press. I wrote an open letter to Donald Trump about this, and I got no response. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, I can help you with that. Donald Trump Jr. is an honorable guy.
I agree.
And I think what happened...
In my open letter, by the way, I say that the mainstream press is intentionally trying to divide us. We can't let it happen.
You know, what I don't understand is, how do you become a racist after years and years of being in business, hiring many women executives.
Well, of course.
Hiring Mexicans, African Americans, Italians, Irish. Donald Trump treats everyone the same, just like his son.
Of course.
I'm sure there was probably a communication gap there. And
what happened is the mainstream press tried to exploit us and divide us, and there is a communication gap, and that's why I want to solve it.
Well, if I can get a copy of that letter, I'll put it in his hands and tell him we talked.
Buddy, and I can make that happen.
Okay, we'll make it happen after the show because...
This is really important to me because, you know what? I don't want to be divided against the Trump administration. I don't want to be... I'm not a racist. I believe in, you know what, equality for all, special privileges for none, sir. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I agree with that. You know, I've been called a racist myself and homophobe and everything.
Hold on. Stay right there, Al. Okay. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Representative from New York on your radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained. We teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org. Are you a business owner who offers high-quality products, services, or solutions? Do you love America and want your business to support a freedom-loving cause that will help defend the Constitution? Well, if the above describes your company, then I want to connect you with my loyal and like-minded listeners. Contact me at RestoreTheRepublicShow.com, and I will personally consult with you to build a sponsorship package that will grow your business. Support a message of freedom and become a sponsor of the Restore the Republic Show today. Together, we will restore the Republic.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wild and Woolly broadcasting live from the RNC. I'm telling you, we're a top radio row. And it's amazing stuff right now, hanging out at Quicken's Loan Arena and more. They made Donald Trump the official nominee for the Republican Party last night. It was an incredible event. It was making history. We were there live in the arena. It was incredible. That's all happening, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a guy by the name of Al Baldassaro with us, who happens to be from New Hampshire. My apologies. He sounds like he's from New York to me. But anyway, he's from New Hampshire, live free or die state, where they don't have a sales tax. They don't have an income tax. I think they ought to get a sales tax and get rid of a property tax personally, but that's just me. Nevertheless, though, he's a state rep there, doing a great job in what, your sixth term, sir?
Yes, I'm running on my sixth term.
All right, doing a great job. He's also on the Veterans committee co-chair for Donald Trump. And this is critical stuff. They're calling us all racist. They even called Donald a racist. They've called you a racist. They've called me a racist. What is up with these people? Look, I want special privileges for none. I want equality for all. I don't give a rip what color your skin is or where you came from. What I care about is that we all work together to fix America again, to make America great. I want to work together to stand for the principles that matter most. And I'll work with anybody who believes in those things, sir. Anybody.
You know, Sam, if I can add here, I've been called a racist and all sorts of names. But you know something, in my family, my brother-in-law, great guy, he's from Puerto Rico. My brother's married to an African-American girl. Lovely lady. We're Americans. In my family, when we sit at a table and family, I don't understand all this racist. I never heard any racist stuff in my family talk about it up until Obama stepped in. And how can
because he's the great divider, according to my buddy David A. Walker Jr., sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He says that Barack's a liar and he's a race baiter and a divider. He's right.
It is, and it's out of control. You know, son, we're Americans. We all come together. I served in the military. There was all people from all walks of life, but you know what? I know something. We were Marines. We all come under the same Constitution. We all took the same oath. It's a damn disgrace on what these liberal progressives are doing. And as far as I'm concerned, they need to get their damn head out of the sand and focus on the real issues instead of trying to divide people.
And the real issues right now are to bring back accountability in government, to bring back jobs. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Well, that's what we're talking about, in accountability, and you know, in the veterans, which I'm big time involved in. I'm a Second Amendment guy. You know, I'm a national security guy. I want a balanced budget. This is all why I support Trump. And why are they all of a sudden, Trump's been in business for years. Now all of a sudden he's racist. You've been doing this for years, talking about Americans on the radio, and now all of a sudden you're a racist because you might have said some nice things about Trump.
Now, by the way, I believe that every race should be able to advocate for their heritage and for their race and for their history and everything else. That's healthy, isn't it?
Oh, it is healthy. You know, Sam, I'm a proud Italian, but I'm American.
Good for
first.
You.
You know, and I stand under the flag with every American.
Amen. I agree. By the way, have you had Panzerotti?
No, not yet. They told me about it.
I need some Panzerotti. Do you know where I can get some around here?
No, not at all. I'm, of course, being from New Hampshire, and I try to get out in town. I want to get over there a little early. I just ain't had the time.
Yeah, I hear you. But anyway, I'm telling you, have you ever had Panzerotti?
No, I haven't. First of all, we might be calling it a different name. What is it?
Panzerotti is like a calzone almost, but it's got thinner crust. It's a lighter crust, and it's got less stuff inside of it. It's a lot more classy, but it's different. But it's called Panzerotti. It's very good.
Oh, okay. No, I've had many calzones in my days.
Yeah, but that's not the same now.
No, I hear you. I'll have to try it.
And I'm not even Italian, but you know what? It's phenomenal food. I'm just saying.
My wife is taking notes here on that Panzerotti.
All right. By the way, is she a delegate too?
My wife is a delegate, and both of us sit on the credentialing committee.
All right. Now give me her name.
Her name is Judy. She's an angel. I'm fortunate I married an angel.
All right. But Judy, we thank you for your service there, too. Now, she's for Trump?
She's for Trump, yes.
She's not a racist?
She's not a racist, no.
Right.
She's her family's from Finland.
Okay.
And she told me I was finished.
And she's and she's an American?
She's an American, yes.
And we're all standing together. We just don't care. We're going to enjoy each other's food. We're going to learn about everybody's culture. We're going to have a great time. We're going to all get together. We're going to make America great again, bring back jobs, and just stand for the veterans. Just take care of business and preserve this great land.
Amen. You know, the veterans... You know, we're all peace-loving people.
Sure.
You know, and with Trump's plan there to rebuild the military, I feel the same thing when I changed over from Democrat to Republican after the second year of Ronald Reagan being my commander-in-chief. I feel the same way today with Donald Trump. That's how motivated I am, that he will make a difference and rebuild our military so not one person in any country will think twice about attacking America and killing Americans.
Amen to that. We'll run around and speak softly and carry a big stick, huh?
Amen. One of the things I'm proud about being in New Hampshire, and I grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yes.
My grandfather was the mayor of Cambridge 4 terms, so I grew up with Tip O'Neill, the Kennedys, and all that. I know their playbook. That's why I'm probably the most attacked state rep in the state of New Hampshire.
Well, we certainly appreciate your service and your involvement. What do you think of the convention?
Oh, the convention's been unbelievable. All the people have been coming together and making a big difference here.
The mainstream press are running around acting like there's protesters everywhere. And, I'm telling you right now, it's like, I don't find them hardly anywhere.
You know,
there's a couple of little teeny things going on, but nothing to speak of, sir. There isn't.
You know, I seen protesters there the first night there, and they were dressed in pink. You know what I mean? And they would, you know, kiss me, love, hug me, this or that. And there was only about maybe, 50, 60 people. That was it.
And they were all peaceful and mellow. The mainstream press just trying to bait this thing, aren't they?
The press is out of control. You know something, the liberal media, it goes back to the old way, yellow journalism. You know, controversy sells newspapers and radio and, you know, the news. So they will do anything, say anything they can to get the press, you know, get the message up there and be the first to lie, deceit the American people to show that Hillary's their person. It's a disgrace.
You got a website, Al?
I do. I have a website. It's www.albaldassaro.com.
Albaldassaro.com.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all around. I'm a social media type of guy. I have Twitter.
All right. Now, I want you to review. I'm going to get you with my buddy, Matt. I want you to review the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association resolution we put together and see if we can get you as a veteran to sign that resolution. Will you take a look at that for me?
Yeah, I would take a look at it. Yeah, definitely. I'm a constitutionalist. You know, as a matter of fact, I co-sponsored Stand Your Ground in New Hampshire. And what that means is you have the right to protect yourself wherever you have the right to be.
Amen to that.
And I'm a First Amendment guy. PC is dead to me.
So you support constitutional carry?
Oh, without a doubt. We passed it twice in New Hampshire in the House, and then the governor vetoed it both times.
Come on now. All right. You say that you're a First and Second Amendment guy. Boy, do I agree with that. We need more First and Second Amendment people in America. Now, this political correctness, you know, we used to just say it's goofy, but now we're realizing it's literally a national security crisis, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know, it's a way to silence Americans. Oh, you might hurt my feelings. Oh, touchy-feely. I say kiss my butt. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't listen.
It doesn't get any clearer than that, ladies and gentlemen. Al's taking care of business and getting it right. Is your wife as outspoken as you are?
No. Well, she's a little bit more polished and she's nicer.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Don't make her mad because she goes after people that attacks me. She don't think twice about it.
All right. Now, what do you say about Hillary? A lot of people say she belongs in prison.
Well, you know, actually, she should be in the firing squad for treason.
Whoa. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I support accountability, and I don't deny that Al's may be correct, but I think that what we need to do is have Congress literally call her in contempt of Congress and get together a grand jury and take care of business. So I'm for creating accountability, but we've got to make sure we do it with the law, Al.
Well, no, I understand with the law, but you know, some in the military years ago, when you committed treason, classified material that got out to the enemy, they're saying that her server could have been attacked many times, okay?
Well, they're confirming that it was.
Yeah, Russia's saying, the president's saying he's got thousands of her emails, okay? You got code, very special agents on there, everything. You're putting our Americans in life. As far as I'm concerned, she is the Jane Fonda, how she was in Vietnam to the veterans. That's how she is to our veterans today. She's a damn disgrace.
Just got to start calling her Jane Clinton. But there's no doubt Crooked Hillary's going down. That's the hope, right?
Oh, I hope so.
You think Trump can do it?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind Trump can do it. And I have a son in the Marine Corps who went to war, and I went to war. So I know what it is as a father, you know, to send a son. Hillary's the wrong person for Commander-in-Chief.
Amen. We're flat out of time. Al, thank you so much, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable live from the National Republican Convention, of course, on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Two F-16 fighter planes manned by pilots supposedly involved in the Turkish coup had a clear shot at a Gulfstream jet carrying Prime Minister Erdogan, but declined to take the shot. Why they didn't fire is a mystery, commented the military official, who described the encounter to Reuters. Erdogan has claimed that he had earlier narrowly escaped an attack on the hotel where he had been vacationing. This would make it all but inexplicable that insurgents would have passed up a second chance to assassinate him, unless the coup was a stage-managed event, as some analysts and commentators have suggested. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. Former CIA analyst Philip Giraldi, a longtime critic of the Erdogan regime in Turkey, is one of several veteran intelligence officers who believe that the recent coup was basically a setup. Erdogan and his government have been warning for several months about the possibility of a coup, so the event itself should surprise no one, Giraldi writes. Some elements within the military who are upset with his increasingly authoritarian rule may have approached one or more of the new Erdogan-appointed generals, without whose support a coup could not succeed, expecting a sympathetic hearing, he continues. In all likelihood, they were received cordially, but the senior officer immediately reported their overture to Erdogan, setting the stage for a trap. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Live from Cleveland, Ohio, the Republican National Convention, Sam Bushman on your radio. This half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey. If you would like raw honey delivered directly to your door, it tastes phenomenal. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn more. 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or simply smile and email Kurt at Kurt, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Also brought to you in part by ThePowerMall.com. ThePowerMall.com. When you want incredible videos and books and DVDs, herbs and spices and a whole lot more, get a hold of the crew at ThePowerMall.com or dial 877-817-9829. Also by Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, GunOwners.org. That's GunOwners.org. Become a lifetime member, as I currently am. And last but not least, GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, please think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. All right, Jim Babka, DownsizeDC.org, back on your radio. He's a well-known guest for Liberty Roundtable Live. We've kind of got out of sync for the last couple of months. Jim's been traveling, and we've been doing some things, too, and it's been crazy. But we're going to get back on sync again. But he is here with me live in person at the Republican National Convention. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I'm near home, actually. This is Northeast Ohio is my home.
This is your house.
Yeah.
Cleveland?
Yes.
Because, man, you live on the most beautiful lake ever.
Thank you very much.
It's cool. You can't even see the other side of this dang thing. It's huge.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of the Great Lakes.
And, I mean, you know it's huge when you hear about it in history, but when you come and see it, it's a different thing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
But it's shocking. It's a mammoth.
Yes.
Anyway, it's hard to even call the thing a lake. It's like a sea.
Yes. Well, there's 5 of them up here. They're all pretty big.
And not only that, I guess this isn't even the biggest one, is it?
No, it's not. And I can't tell you off the top of my head which one it is, but it is not.
All right. Now, I want to talk about this. You are involved in a non-aggression project, which doesn't mean that you just run around and let everybody abuse you. It does mean that you draw appropriate lines in terms of how you are acted upon and how you act. In other words, how others treat you and how you treat others. It's not only a defensive but an offensive opportunity in the sense that the goal is to be peaceful but yet firm and consistent in your beliefs. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, definitely. When we started the Zero Aggression Project, we wanted to get people to kind of take their golden rule ethic seriously and apply it to all areas of life. And the one area that we feel is the most overlooked is the political. When it comes to political, people believe that they can use brute force to achieve their social goals. They might not always think about it that way, but politics is a very aggressive thing. Some people have even said it's war by other means.
Now, let's talk about this in relation to the National Republican Convention. Everybody came to this convention expecting fireworks, expecting it to be a meltdown, from the protesters in the streets to hopefully no dead people to who knows what, to strife and bitter conflict and confusion and inside and outside of the event, right?
Yeah, there was that expectation.
And I believe that expectation, sadly, is from some things that have happened in the past, I agree, but primarily from the mainstream press hyping it up that way, right?
Well, yeah, the mainstream press enjoys conflict. Conflict sells. That's what they produce and they distribute. And so they can, anytime they see an opportunity to promote conflict and get ratings, that's what they do. So they're looking for that aggression.
But in my opinion, that's wrong, Jim. That's not what they should be doing.
Well, they're more concerned about ratings, and so that also says something about the people who are watching. Why is it that we are so attracted to violence? Why are we excited at the potential that there will be a fight? It seems to be part of our, you know, fallen human sinful nature, I guess.
Have you seen it to be aggressive as you've attended the convention?
No. Well, you know, first of all, one of the things that they've done is they've got they've turned this area here where I've come to watch many a ball game. They've turned it into a police state. So there's zones, you know, you have to have a pass to get into what's called the perimeter. So this area is fairly secure. And the protesters have been pushed out to the outskirts of town. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't had a couple of illegal protests on the streets nearby the perimeter. But the protesters themselves that have gone and gotten the permit and the license, they're on a bridge over on the west side, and they're not really right here. But even amongst them, Sam, you know, there hasn't really been quote-unquote violence that of which I'm aware.
And we're grateful for that. I'm just making a point, though, that we need to have a narrative that tries to de-escalate, sir. And it seems to me that they're just doing the opposite. It's crazy.
Well, and I there's some expectation and hope, I think, even from some people that if, you know, there is violence, that it would mar the proceedings and it would hurt the Republican Party. And on this, I would imagine there would be similar hopes that would emanate even from this hall, potentially, for the Democrats when they have their convention next week. Again, a lot of people really take this personally and seriously. They're very angry and bitter. They're open to name calling and various forms of accusation and vitriol. The attacks don't even need to be substantiated. They could be hunches and beliefs about people's, you know, views and values. And it's interesting to me, sometimes, you know, there's stuff that's obvious, you know, that the candidate or that the office holder is doing wrong, and people will focus instead on some aspect of their character that isn't necessarily proven because that's more sensational. And I agree with you. We should have a more calm, a more rational discussion, but it would help a lot if we weren't fighting over who was going to get the power all the time, because whichever side gets it uses it to reward their friends and punish those of us that didn't vote for them.
It's a tragedy. Shame, shame, shame on them. America's better than that. That's what we got to focus on. Are you a Trump supporter?
I am not.
Neither am I, by the way.
No, I this time around, personally, I'm going to support Gary Johnson. I wish he was a little bit more libertarian than he's turning out to be. But I think he would be a dramatic improvement, and I'm excited to see what's happening for them in the polls. But I don't, you know, Sam, I don't place my stock. You know this. We've talked about it dozens of times. Don't place my stock in politicians. My faith isn't in political parties and in trying to go out and get the vote. I don't believe that that's the way that we're ultimately going to change things. The Zero Aggression Project was founded on reaching out to people's hearts, to reaching out to their gut, getting them to maybe even have a little bit of cognitive dissonance, to be aware of the fact that what they're usually advocating when they say, I know what's best, I've got the policy that'll work, they're usually advocating that at the end of the day, if it needs to be enforced and someone isn't going to be completely compliant, that you might have to kill them. We think that's wrong. We think that's wrong, and we want to put a stop to that. And we want the first step, we think, is to create awareness, and that's why we've begun this discussion we call the Zero Aggression Project, and people can find it at zeroaggressionproject.org.
Write that down, Ben. Zero, just spelled out, Z-E-R-O, aggressionproject.org, right?
That's correct.
All right, zeroaggressionproject.org. Now, what have you seen at the convention? What have you liked the most? Have you enjoyed yourself?
It's been interesting. You know, one of the things that's funny to me is that we are in a parking garage right now. I have parked in this garage before while attending a Cleveland Cavaliers game. So this is it's funny to me that we're in a parking garage. It's fairly nice. They've got carpet on the floor, and they've put up temporary walls. They've got a fairly decent temporary air conditioning system working, and it's actually kind of chilly today. It was warm on Monday.
Yes, they've done a great job, though. What do you think of the proceedings, though? Have you been pleased? Do you think there's progress? Do you think there's good things happening?
I'm not pleased with the way or the state of either of the parties and the direction that they're going. I think that they seem to be grabbing some of their worst impulses, unfortunately. And some of these are aggressive. You know, you talked about, you know, toning down the rhetoric and trying to be courteous and civil towards each other. That really hasn't been the modus operandi of the Donald Trump campaign. It has been an attack, attack, attack type of campaign. And so, you know, I think this is going to be kind of a bitter election. I think a lot of people are disappointed with the choices that they have. And so I haven't been thoroughly impressed. I really, to go one step further, Sam, didn't care for Monday's proceedings at all. I did watch a chunk of those, and I thought that there was some nostalgia from that post 9/11 era when we were all ready to go out and start wars of choice. And so I was concerned that that narrative was so dominant, especially just days after the release of the 28 pages that implicate Saudi Arabia and 9/11. There's just, you know, we went to a war for a war of convenience in Iraq that should have never occurred. And part of that happened by covering up the role that Saudi Arabia played.
There's no doubt we lost the moral high ground, and the cover up is just unacceptable. What about Hillary for prison? There's bumper stickers everywhere. There's all that. What do you think of that?
Okay, now there's an idea I can get behind.
You know, I can get behind it, but I want to caution everybody. You know what? I appreciate they're just saying rush to Hillary for prison. But what we really need to do if we want to do this right is use the checks and balances that our founding fathers gave us. And it would start with Congress saying we find Hillary in contempt. And then it would empower a grand jury, and that grand jury would subpoena and get facts, and then they would prosecute based on facts and the rule of law, not just a popular opinion of Hillary for prison. So I understand the idea, but I think we need to go about it properly. What do you think?
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, first of all, I think it's a real stretch that she's not guilty and shouldn't have been indicted for something. Okay, the evidence is, in fact, the way that the Justice Department handled this, they created a standard that isn't in the law, a higher standard. It's a special standard that is just in existence for the Clinton crime family. But to go on,
and then
further,
when Bill meets with Loretta Lynch and says, "Hey, Loretta, I want you to go ahead and take care of Hillary for me," it's like, you know,
that's
what?
Good.
That
good
alone
impression.
Needs these people to go to jail.
No, it's exactly
that alone is unacceptable.
Yeah, there's,
and Bill should be going to jail too.
But now, what's very, very clear to me, and I think is beyond dispute, is that she lied to Congress. And the lie to Congress is a contempt. I mean, it's a contempt charge. This is what got Bill Clinton impeached, was a contempt charge. This is what cost him his law license, was a contempt charge. I really, really think that that the Congress needs to pursue this with vigor, because we have a double standard in place and it shouldn't exist. And I, honestly, from what little I can tell, there's a lot of evidence all over the place that the Clintons have profited wildly from their involvement in the government their entire career.
And the debate is, when should we give the push? Should we wait till Donald's president and give the push when we have maybe a bigger majority in Congress, or is it important to push before the election? That's kind of the debate. Some say it'll never get traction before or after.
I think they should do it now.
Well, I think we should have accountability sooner than later, that's for sure. Jim Babka, DownsizeDC.org, ZeroAggressionProject.org, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Back in seconds, man. The time flies too fast when you're live from the Republican National Convention atop Media Row on your radio.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is Mercy, It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Broadcasting live, ladies and gentlemen, from the National Republican Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, I'm Sam Bushman. Kurt Cosby's with me. We're taking care of business. We've been live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We will be live Thursday and give you all the breakdown, and then Friday the wrap-up of what happened at the Republican Convention as well. I got a guy by the name of David Barton with me. David Barton has been on Liberty Roundtable Live several times. He's one of the premier educators in America regarding the Founding Fathers, regarding God, our godly heritage, our godly nation, about the Judeo-Christian ethics that built and made America. His website is wallbuilders.com. Now, David, welcome, sir, first.
Hey, Sam. Good. Thanks for having me.
Now, Donald wants to build a wall. Is he a wall builder?
I would say that's a wall builder. A little different from what we do, but that would certainly be a wall builder.
What do you think? Are you for building the wall?
I'm for securing borders. I don't know if it has to be done with the wall.
I'm for securing borders, but I'm not for building walls. That's what like communists do, right?
Well, it's interesting that in Texas, obviously we have a problem. So we have taken that into our own hands. We actually have our own highway patrol that has 50 caliber machine guns and boats and border boats. So we know that we can do it technologically. We're able to do it through all sorts of ways with camera that you don't have to have a wall. And by the way, if you're talking about building a wall and you're going over things like the Rio Grande where Santa Elena Canyon is, that's an 1,100-foot wall that God built. I mean, that one nobody's crossing. So there's a lot of parts along that border that really don't need a wall because it's already there.
Are you a Trump supporter?
I can be. I am more of a judge supporter. I want judges first and foremost. And when you tell me that Leonard Leo and Ted Cruz are picking my judges, I can live with that. I think the judges are the most important thing in shaping the culture other than citizens doing what they should do. But right now, citizens aren't doing what they should do.
Now, Donald Trump said that he'd really put some Christian, you know, quality judges that do understand God, family, and country in the mix, didn't he?
Well, he has. And the interesting thing about it is, and I was not quite prepared for this because I've been around politics too long, he's actually bringing a CEO mentality to this rather than a political mentality. And I say that in the sense that, all right, the guy's worth $5.6 billion at least, and he's probably been that several times because he keeps going bankrupt. But nonetheless, you do that by getting the best people out there and then getting out of their way. And so on the judge issue, when you tell the head of the Federalist Society, I want you picking my judges, and then you bring in folks like Cruz to help, if you're willing to do that and get out of the way, that is terrific. You know, he's talking to General Jerry Boykin and others on military stuff. That's great. Those are the guys I want helping.
And he has signaled that he's got a place for Cruz, too. Whether that's true or not in the details, I don't know. But there is signaling like that.
That's right. And so, you know, from that CEO standpoint, he looks for the best talent and brings it in. And, man, if that's the way he'll run things, I can live with that.
Well, he's got to have me in charge of his media. It's that simple.
There you go.
All right, let's talk about this, though. I don't care what you do. Bring CEO Joe in. You get this done, you get that done. I mean, I'm not trying to reduce the excitement here, okay? I get it.
Right,
I understand.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm convinced until you put, what, 2 Chronicles 7:14 or whatever.
You have 2 Chronicles 7:14.
You got to heal our nation. You got to turn to me. You got to repent. And when you do that, I'll heal your land and take care of you. Isn't it that simple, sir?
Well, it really is, but it's not that simple. I mean, it's theoretically that simple, and people love to focus Second Chronicles 7:14 and pray and seek God's face. But he says, humble yourselves and turn from your wicked ways.
In other words, it doesn't just take talk. It takes personal delivery and action, right?
Well, the turning from the wicked ways is not what we're doing. And I would say that in several ways. You know, Sam, for me, this thing is a citizen nations, a citizen government. And right now, we really don't like government. The approval rating between the three branches is around 22%. But that's a reflection of the people. And when you have what we have right now, there are 62% of Americans that cannot name the three branches of government. Now, if you can't name the three branches of government, you have no chance of having separation of powers. You have no chance of getting any kind of limitations on any. The judges will continue to make policy. The president will continue to have a pen and a phone until citizens themselves start knowing more. 70% of voters did not know the Constitution was the supreme law of the land. Are you kidding me? Only one out of 1,000 Americans can name the five freedoms in the First Amendment. You know, if we're going to do this, we deserve exactly what we get. And I don't put that on anybody else other than we, the people. And I look back to the American Revolution where that they took the time to do the committees of correspondence and educate themselves. And one other thing I'll say is we get in this mentality of what can I do. I'll point out in the American Revolution, only 25% of Americans supported independence. 25% opposed it vehemently, and 50% really didn't care as long as they came out on the winning side. And when it came to actually participating and doing something to win American independence, only 8% of Americans actually participated. So it doesn't take much, but we don't even have the 8% at this point, I don't think, that are willing to really roll up their sleeves and get in and do something.
But some say, and I'm one of them, that, you know what, I've been in this movement 25 years as an adult, as a talk show host, etc. 25 years. I know to some that's not very long, but it's a good chunk of time. And I've seen more people turn to God and more people decide that it matters and more people get involved in the last five than I saw in the first 20.
I agree.
And I say that's a good sign, and I say, you know what, this nation shall endure. Even though America's got significant problems, we're still the greatest country on the face of the earth. People aren't taking boats out. They're trying to take boats here.
That's right.
We've got a lot of problems. I acknowledge it. It's perilous times. I get it. But I'm preaching that it's the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and this nation shall endure, and we got to restore the republic of the traditions of our founders. It's all about restoration, not
That's
revolution.
Right. Well, it is, and revolution is a really stupid idea when we have so many political means at our disposal. And the founding fathers, they only went to revolution after 11 years of absolutely no political progress at all, and that's what they're really trying, and that's what the British violating their own law. So I'm not there at all.
Some people are pushing for secession. Some people are pushing for Article 5. I reject both of them, not because there's not some validity historically there, but because we have better ways.
Well, interestingly, part of that's a political thing. I can't reject Article 5 because it's part of the Constitution, so I accept it. Now, whether it's a good political thing
I don't reject Article 5 in the sense that I reject it, but I just simply say it's a nuclear last resort.
Yeah.
We've got a gazillion options first.
And see, that's the thing for people talking revolution. That's nonsense. We have way too many options we've not used at this point. And I look at the Bible, and my gosh, how many times did Israel go sinking and God brought them back? And the book of Judges is every 40 years they've got a cycle like that. So I'm not a pessimist at all. But I am disappointed that we, the people, have become so lazy and let other people do our thinking for us. And that's what I'm starting to see as a change. I'll tell you what I'm really encouraged with. And by the way, being a history guy, when I look at a national revival, as we had with the First Great Awakening or Second Great Awakening, they're transgenerational. They span generations. And so we've talked to a young girl recently, 17 years old, and she got elected to the West Virginia legislature. And she couldn't even vote for herself. She's now in.
That's phenomenal.
And you say, why did you get in? We got to get God back in the center. We got to become a pro-life. And she's got a 23 and a 25-year-old got elected with her in the election. I talked to a 24-year-old youth pastor up in New Hampshire who's now in the legislature. Why are you in? And it's bringing America back to the right foundations. And so I see a real movement of young people coming in saying, hey, we got to turn and see, that's always characteristic of a national revival. And I really do see good things coming. But, you know, we deserve a spanking for having letting this stuff got away from us in the first place.
Every bit of that's true. What's the best thing you've seen come out of this convention?
The best thing I've seen come out of this convention is the platform. Hands down, the most conservative platform that we've had in my lifetime. I actually was on the platform committee, I've been there several times. What we did in restoring the Declaration of Independence and highlighting the Constitution and really the strongest we've ever been on life and family. what we've done with constitutional approaches to separation of powers, limited and expansive government. It's the best constitution we've ever, our best platform we've ever had.
It's the best. Hold on, let me just say this again then. If we've got the best Republican platform we've ever had.
That's in my opinion. In my lifetime, there's not one better. And I own the actual original 1856 platform, 1860 platform, 1864 platform, et cetera. And by the way, it was Boyd Matheson out of Utah that had a really great idea. Said, you know,
now, Boyd Matheson is with Mike Lee, right?
Just so people know who's who. He was former chief of staff. He's now head of the Sutherland Institute.
Yeah, but I'm just telling people so they know that he was with Mike Lee.
That's right.
Anyway, keep going.
And so Boyd comes in and said, you know, the original and that original 1856 platform was only 9 planks long. The 1816 was 17 planks. The 1864 was 11 planks. But the one that elected Abraham Lincoln is 17 planks. And we're looking at 70 pages in our platform now. And so Boyd comes in and says, hey, let's go back to fundamental principles. We keep weighing in on policies that don't even belong to the federal government. You know, and we're saying the government shouldn't deal with except these 17 enumerated powers that the Constitution gives them. So why are we taking positions on things we don't even think the federal government should be touching? So we really did a good job of trimming back a lot and getting principles out there and returning to principles. And that's one of the reasons I think is the strongest we've ever had.
How large is it now in comparison?
Oh, good question. We got it last night, or actually 2 nights ago. I have not looked at the page numbers, but it is smaller than our previous ones, and it's more succinct, more compact, and stronger than it's ever been.
What about the pro-life component? To me, it almost seems like, you know what, if we're going to be murdering 50 million babies, my friend, I don't care what we do, we're going
That's
down
right.
the tubes.
That's it.
If we bust out and stand for real pro-life measures, now we're getting somewhere to have God's blessings return.
Well, interestingly enough, the Founding Fathers had very clear positions on abortion. They wrote about it. People think abortion's new. Roe v. Wade's new. Abortion's not new. And the Founding Fathers specifically said in the Declaration that the first inalienable right is the right to life. And in their writings, they said that that included unborn life. So that's in their writings. So taking that position, what I've always believed politically is if you get off track on the first issue, you're off track on the second, third, and fourth.
Amen
life
to that.
First.
Is this a pro-life piece in this one?
This is the pro-life people say this is the strongest pro-life platform in Republican history.
And
period.
Has Donald really come to this understanding as well?
He did, and actually he helped us on the committees. I've been on the committee
Is Donald
times.
Really a baby Christian like James Dobson said?
It's possible.
We pray
I
that it's
know.
True.
We pray that it's true.
I don't mean to cut you off. You got 10 seconds. I just wanted to make sure we got all that in.
No, it's great, bro. Thanks for what you do.
David Barton, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Republican Network. I'm telling you, he says we got the best Republican platform ever created, ladies and gentlemen. Now that is something really to take home to grandma. I'm just telling you, that is incredible. The most pro-life, too. I think that we're getting somewhere, folks, in terms of restoring this republic. And I think we all got to get involved and join together and make a difference. LibertyRoundtable.com, live from the RNC. This nation shall endure.